हरि ओम। सो इन द 17th चैप्टर वी हैव टू मोर क्लासेस लेफ्ट टुडे एंड देन जनवरी 8 वी स्टार्टेड विथ व्हाट इज द थ्री काइंड्स ऑफ श्रद्धा। भगवान सेड सात्विक, राजसिक एंड तामसिक। सात्विक बीइंग प्योर बेस्ड ऑन नॉलेज, राजसिक based on passion, activity and selfishness, and tamasic based on laziness, indolence and attitude of not caring. So these three shraddhas translate into what is our ideal, what is our goal, whom do we worship. Sattvic people worship noble, rajasic worship the powerful, and tamasic the criminals and the lower members of society. And accordingly, Bhagwan said that there are three kinds of activities: yajna, tapa, and danam. And these all three can be sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic. Tapa being austerities, not just torturing the body, but living in self-control. And in our case, we don't go to the forest and meditate, but living a life of self-control, some fasting, some getting up in early morning, meditation, yoga, and so on. Yajna in the olden days meant offering in the fire, but Bhagavan gives a, and Puja Gurudev Swami Chinmayanandaji gives a new meaning to yajna. Yajna is the activities that are done for the community, dedicated to all, and where all work together for the benefit of everybody. So that is yajna. And dana, of course, is giving or charity. And these can be sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic. Sattvic is where I work for the benefit of others without worrying what is going to be my result. What am I going to get out of it? As Gurudev said, giving more than what we receive, producing more than what we consume. So such person, his activities are unselfish, dedicated to the higher, to the Lord. That's very important. Paraya taptam, shraddaya paraya taptam, and they are for the benefit of others. And of course, the person himself or herself, of course, benefits, but the main focus of this individual is how can I do things for others? Rajasic is a more selfish. How can I grow myself, make myself powerful, richer, more successful? And there's an attitude of selfishness, then also attitude of competition, how I can put others down and so on. And tamasic is, as I said, it is harmful. What is harmful, what is destructive to society, that is tamasic. So with tapas, self-control, I conserve energy. Then with yajna, I distribute the energy. And danam is with what attitude I channel and distribute. So one is conserve, second is channel in the right direction, and third distribute with the right attitude. So even danam can be sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic, as we studied last week. When it is done unselfishly, dedicated to God, that is sattvic. When done with idea, what will I get in return? That is rajasic. And when done with insulting somebody is tamasic. Then people ask, Bhagwan, it is very difficult to all the time stay in sattva. You know, we forget sometimes our tendencies come up, and sometimes we are not careful. You know, when we chant in the aarti, you know, tera tujhko arpan kya lage mera, I forget that what I am giving belongs to God, and I think I am giving, and then I get this ego arrogance. So how to stay all the time in sattva? That's not easy, you know, because our tendencies come and our previous, you know, vasanas, they suddenly arise, and I forget, I don't remember. So Bhagavan says, I'll give you a magic formula. You apply this formula and all activities you do will be sattvic. So what is this formula? We'll study today and next week. So shloka number 23. Chapter 17, shloka 23. So this is the formula. Om Tatsaditi Nirdeshaha. Brahmanastri Vidhasmritaha. Brahmanaste Navedascha. Yajnascha Vihitah Pura. All together, Om Tatsaditi Nirdeshaha, Brahmanastri Vidhasmritaha, Brahmanastena Vedascha, Yajnascha Vihitah Pura. So, Om Tat Sat. This, when you chant, that is a magic formula, makes all activities sattvic. So they say, Bhagavan, what do you mean? I do something bad and I say Om Tat Sat. That's it. It will become good. So we'll understand what Bhagavan is saying. So Om Tat Sat. These are the three words. That's the formula. Iti Nirdeshaha. Iti in this way. Nirdesha means it is an indicator. It points to Bhagavan. And we'll talk about it. And it is Brahmana of Brahman, the total substratum consciousness. Trividha, in three ways. Smritaha, it is indicated. It is understood in three ways. Om Tat Sat, the total Brahman consciousness. And who practices these? So he says Brahmana. Brahmana here does not only mean the caste Brahmana, but we'll talk a little more about who are these Brahmanas. But not only the one caste, but people who make their life dedicated to the higher. So we'll talk about that in more detail. Brahmana, Tena, by the Brahmanas, and where it is indicated in the Vedas. As Yajnas, as the Yajnas, as the dedicated activity, Vihitah Pura, that has been indicated earlier, has been described in the Vedas. So let us see what this shloka, these three shlokas today are a little, little higher understanding, because previously we were doing sattvic, rajasic, tamasic diet and all. So these will need some explanation. What is Om, Tat and Sat? So first, Om Tat Sat, all three together, that is the first shloka. So Bhagavan says Om Tat Sat is a indicator, is a pointer. It does not mean all three, either of them, any of them, Om, Tat or Sat, any of them indicate that one truth. We say, why different? Because this one truth is impossible to describe in words, but through these formulae, through these mantras, the rishis have indicated what is that supreme truth, that consciousness, that Brahman. And either one of the three, any of the three, indicates Brahman. You don't have to necessarily say all three. You can say just Om, or you can say Tat or Sat. All indicate that. But generally, we say all three. Om Tat Sat Iti. That's why even when we end every chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishad Su, like that. So these are auspicious, very auspicious words. And what Shankaracharya Ji and Anand Giri Ji say in their commentary, that when there are any defects in the performing of yajna, say you are offering yajnas in the fire, or you are doing activities for the benefit of others, or even for your own, but when it's done with chanting Om Tat Sat, if there's any defects, those defects are automatically removed. So how can the defects be removed? Just by chanting Om Tat Sat. So Gurudev in his commentary says it very beautifully, that what is my motive when I am chanting, or when I am working, or when I am doing puja, or even when I am working in the world, taking care of my patients, or cooking, or cleaning. What is the motive? If I just do it for myself, then that becomes rajasic or a tamasic activity. But if the activity is dedicated to Bhagwan, dedicated to the higher, then that same activity will become sattvic activity. When I dedicate it to Bhagwan, obviously it will become a sattvic activity. You cannot do a selfish or an indecent action when you dedicate it to God. We'll talk more about that. And Gurudev says it will awaken us to our higher nature, because Om Tat Sat, you don't mechanically chant. When you say Om, you know, when we say Om three times before we start the class, or any time, you say Om Namah Shivaya or Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva, then it should be done with attention to that it is God's name that I am chanting. Or when you say Tattvam Asi, you are that. So it awakens us to the higher truth. And that's what the Upanishad says, Om Idagam Sarvam. What does that mean? We'll talk in more detail about Om in the next shloka. But in this shloka, Bhagavan tells us that all three together are the highest. But there is a subtle difference between the three, why three names are given. So Om, Gurudev says, is the transcendental absolute truth, which cannot be described in words, which cannot be thought of, cannot be indicated, cannot be explained. But how am I to know it? So it says that the rishis have given us a word symbol, Om. Om is a word symbol, which indicates that truth. And we'll talk more about Om individually in the next shloka. But it is said, Om Idagam Sarvam. This whole universe is nothing but an expression of Om. It is that transcendental absolute truth which manifests as Ishvara, as the creator, sustainer, and destroyer, Brahmaji, Vishnu, Bhagwan, and Mahesh, Lord Shiva. And together they maintain the universe. But Brahman by itself is not, has no form, has no shape, has no color, no appearance, but is the substratum upon which the creator is there, the world is created, and I and you and I. So Jeev, Jagat, and Ishvara. Ishvara is the creator, sustainer, and the destroyer. All three are manifestations of that one supreme Brahman, and that is what we call as God. When we say God, we refer to either Vishnu Bhagwan or Lord Shiva or Brahmaji or their incarnations, like Bhagwan Shri Krishna or Shri Rama. So when we say Bhagwan or God, we indicate these three and their manifestations. They have taken various avatars. Vishnu Bhagwan has so many avatars and all that. But that Brahman is the substratum of all three. It is the support of all three. So Om indicates this transcendental absolute reality, which cannot be described, cannot be indicated. But out of their compassion, rishis have given us this word Om. And that's why we always chant Om before we do any start any class, before we, you know, start chanting. Any mantras, all are Om. So Gurudev says that it wakes us to our higher nature. Brahman is not somebody sitting somewhere, but is the substratum of all. Means he's also the substratum of me. So even though I have this name Anil and I'm a male and all, but the essence or the substratum is Brahman. That is, because of Brahman, we are able to walk, talk, and so on. So when I say Aham Brahmasmi, it does not mean I, the individual, am Brahman, but my true nature is Brahman. That is indicated by Om. So, I, in my ego form, I'm a male, you know, talking, working, but in essence, I am Brahman, just as a wave and an ocean. Ocean is the creator and wave is created, but the essence of both is water. So wave says, I am water. Ocean also says, I am water. So in that, they are one. So that is called Aham Brahmasmi, Om Idagam Sarvam. And when we say Tat, Tat means all. All means that from which everything came and into which everything merges back. Gurudev says that which is the support, origin of everything and the end of everything. So that into which this whole universe will finally merge. It came out of that and it will merge into that. That is Tat. And because the cause is in the effect, just as mud, out of mud come all the parts. So every pot, cup, saucer is nothing but mud. With name and form. Gold is one, but there are different ornaments, necklace, bangle, and all. But gold is one. So similarly, Tat is one, but appearing as all this. And everything merges back into that. Just as when you melt the gold bangle, it will become gold. And then you can make a necklace or you can make a earring or anything out of it. Similarly, when a pot breaks, it merges back into mud. It came from mud and merges back into mud. And Sat, again, we'll talk in more detail about Sat next time when we meet. Today, we'll talk mostly about Om and Tat. So Sat is existence. That's why in Taittiriya Upanishad, it says, Sat eva. Idam Saumya Agre Asid. O young boy, because this Taittiriya Upanishad, the father is teaching the son, father is the guru and son is the student. He says, O Saumya, O my dear child, Sat Eva Idam Agre Asid. Sat alone was. That existence alone was. Sat is existence. And existence is there in everything. Now this computer exists. Right? So there's existence. This mic I'm talking in exists. So anything that exists is existence. Like the chair we are sitting on exists. The air we are breathing exists. So that is existence. Even the space between us, we say, oh, there is nothing between me and the audience or me and the people on Zoom. No, space is there between us. Space exists. So existence is there not only in objects, not only in air, but also in space. So anything that exists is Sat, is existence. So existence, agre asit. So first existence was there and then everything else manifested upon that existence in name and form. So we give different names and forms, chair, table, computer, mic, but their essence is existence. And existence is there even when there is no object, as we said, when there is space, everything. So this, it said, it is understood by Brahmanas in the Vedas. So Vedas are the spiritual texts which were revealed to the rishis by Bhagwan himself. And Brahmana here does not mean a particular caste or a particular family. Brahmana means Brahmani Charati Iti Brahmana, one who is on the path of Brahman. And how does he do that? By reading the Vedas. What I should do, what I should not do, pravritti, nivritti, everything is indicated in the Vedas. And through this knowledge, he can go from ego to the highest truth. So yajna here does not only mean offering in the fire, but all activities that this individual does, he or she, all of them are dedicated to God and done following the instructions of the Vedas. And Bhagwan says in the Bhagavad Gita, even the biggest sinner, but jnana plavena samtarishyasi. You can cross over even the greatest sin. How can I do that? How can I cross over sin just by saying om? So they say that you dedicate all activities to God. All my activities I'm dedicating to God. Then you cannot do sinful activities. So there's a very beautiful story of Ramakrishna Paramhans. There was this devotee who used to come to the temple regularly, but then he liked to drink. So suddenly he would go into this alcoholic, binge drinking. And 4, 5, 6 days, he would drink. And he won't come to the temple. And then after 6th, 7th day, then he realized, oh, I haven't gone to the temple. So he was a worshipper of Mother Kali. And so then he will come to the temple. And again, he will come for a week or two and then suddenly disappear for a week. He will come every day. And then for a week, he's gone. So Ramakrishna Paramahansa Bhagavan asked some other devotee, what is with this person? You know, some days he comes very regular and then he disappears for a week and then he comes again. What does he, why does he do that? So they say, you know, Maharaj, you know, he likes to drink. So when he is drinking, then 4, 5, 6 days, he doesn't remember anything. And then when he wakes up, finally, then he comes. So that's why he's intermittent. So Ramakrishna said, okay, let him come next time. I'll talk to him. So after a few days, this man came. So Ramakrishna says, oh, so you haven't been coming to the temple because you were drinking? He said, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm ashamed. Ramakrishna said, no, no, it's okay. You can keep on drinking. You don't need to stop. He said, I don't need to stop. No, you don't need to stop at all. But just remember one thing. Before you take the first drink in the morning, offer it to Mother Kali. Say, okay, Mother Kali, I'm offering you this first drink. And then you can have as many as you want. So this man doesn't come for a week. So he said, oh, he didn't come for a week. And then finally, the 8th day, he comes and falls at Ramakrishna's feet. He says, you know, Mahatmaji Bhagwan, how can I drink? I offer it to Mother Kali. I can offer her good things, you know, something sweet or some. I offer her alcohol. I don't even feel like drinking. Because how can I offer that? So Ramakrishna says, that is the solution. When you offer activities to God, you cannot offer something bad. Like when you offer food, you're not going to offer 1 week old food, you know, that you brought from somewhere it's been sitting in. No, you make fresh food and you offer, or you offer fresh flowers, not some wilted flowers or some fruit which is rotten. No. When we offer to God, same way when I offer activities to God, I cannot offer activities that are dirty, that are sinful, that are harmful to others. Why? Because God is in everyone. So that's what they say, that when you offer anything to God or when you do it remembering the saints, like before I do an activity, you can say, okay, what would, if I'm a Ram Bhakta, what would Sri Ramchandra ji do in this situation? Or if I'm a Shiva Bhakta or Krishna Bhakta, what is it that will please my Lord or my Guru? You know, if my Guru was here, that's what they say in Vivek Chudamani also, that if an individual, his mother is there and she's watching, will he do it or not? So somebody whom I respect, if that person is there, my Guru, my mother or God, then will I do it or not? And so that's what they say. Before you do any activity, offer it to Bhagwan and take Bhagwan's blessing or my Guru's blessing. And once that is there, then the activity automatically will be sattvic. So this is talking about Om Tat Sat together. Now the next shloka will talk only about Om. And then the last shloka today will talk about Tat. So, shloka number 24. तस्मात् ओम इत्युदाहृत्य यज्ञदान तप क्रियाः प्रवर्तन्ते विधानोक्ताः सततं ब्रह्मवादिनां टुगेदर तस्मात् ओमित्युदाहृत्य यज्ञदानतपक्रियाः प्रवर्तन्ते विधानोक्ताः सततं ब्रह्मवादिनां. So Bhagavan says, tasmat. Tasmat means therefore. Having seen the value of Om Tat Sat together, now I will talk about each one separately. So tasmat Om. So in this shloka, Bhagavan talks about Om. Om iti. In this way, udahritya means having chanted, having uttered, having chanted the name Om. Then, what are the three kinds of activities? Yajna, Dana, and Tapa. We already talked about that in detail in the 17th chapter, and Bhagavan will again cover this topic in the 18th chapter because it has some important aspects to it. So Yajna means, as I said, offerings to God in the fire, also means activities which are dedicated to the totality, working with others for the benefit of all. Then dana is charity, giving, and tapa is austerity or self-control. So yajna, dana, tapa, kriya. So these three kinds of activities, pravartante, who begin and how do they begin? Vidhan Uktaha. Vidhan means the Upanishads, the Vedas. Uktaha has been said in the Vedas and is begun by who? And how is it performed? Satatam, constantly, all the time, not once in a while, but in every activity they chant Om. Brahma Vadinam, those who are the students of Vedas who want to know Brahman. So those who want to know Brahman chant Om when before they do any yajna, dana, or tapa. So here Bhagavan is giving us the purpose. Why do we chant Om? And what is Om? As we said, Om is the ultimate reality, that which is transcendental, absolute, cannot be described, but is the substratum of everything and is there in everything, but in an unmanifest form. Only way you can realize is by understanding that that is my true nature. That's why meditation is important, because meditation helps us to go within and understand our true nature as Brahman. So it is the ultimate truth. It is the highest. And that is the goal of life to reach. So what is liberation? What is realization? Is to understand that Brahman is me. That is my higher nature. Brahman is not somebody sitting somewhere, but is not only me, but everybody is Brahman. Everything is Brahman. Everything is Om. And that is the purpose. And that is the ultimate. And guidelines are given in the Vedas, given in the Upanishads, given in the Bhagavad Gita, given in the Vivek Chudamani, given in all these, you know, all these spiritual texts, Upadeshar, whatever we are studying. So using those guidelines, using those instructions, injunctions, one say, okay, this I should do, this I should not do. So I have to follow the spiritual literature. It's not spiritual literature. It's not only to be heard or to be listened or to be read, but it has to be followed. And what that does is the moment you say Om, it makes anything into a mantra. like you say Shiva, okay. When you say Om Namah Shivaya, it gets the Shakti of a mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Then it becomes a mantra to Bhagavan Shri Krishna. Or when we start our class, we say Om Sahanavavatu Sahanau Bhunaktu. So again, Om is a direct connection to God. We'll talk about that. And it gives any mantra the power of a mantra. Any words when you put Om before it, even in Mukundamala that we are studying, one of the shlokas which will be coming is that he says, let Pranava be there before Narayana, and then that will become a mantra. So Om is also called Pranava. And that's why every mantra, Om Sarve Bhavantu Saksikina, Om Purnamada Purnamidam, any mantra we chant, and even before the class, even at the end of the class, we chant Om, and at the end of every chapter. Also at the Chinmaya Mission, we greet each other with Hari Om. So they say the moment you say Hari Om, Hari is of course Sri Krishna's name, and Om means that divinity in you is also the divinity in me. So that is the purpose of chanting Hari Om, not mechanically just say Hari Om, but Om is to recognize that I am divine and you are also divine. Like we do Namaskara, it is the same way that I bow down to the Bhagavan in you. Also, when we chant Om and chanting a mantra to Bhagavan, Om is like hello. You know, when you say, like, you know, it's very interesting. People will have a phone call, you know, and they will be talking in Gujarati, Marathi, Tamil, Telugu. But they will start with hello, you know, English word. And they will end with okay, bye. They will have a whole conversation in their regional language, you know, 1 hour, half an hour. But beginning hello is English. And end okay, bye, that is also English. So same way, when you chant Om, it becomes a hello to Bhagavan. Bhagavan says, oh, you mentioned my name. Okay, I'm paying attention now. Just as when somebody says hello on the phone, then you know he's there. So by chanting Om, you are drawing Bhagavan's attention. Bhagavan, I am now talking to you. And then you end with Om also. That means now over and out. So Om makes every activity auspicious. When I do activity dedicated to Lord, automatically it becomes divine, it becomes auspicious. Even at the time of death, a person who chants Om, that's why in chapter 8, Bhagavan Shri Krishna says, Omit ek kaksharam brahma, vyaharan mam anusmaran, yah prayati tyajan deham, tato yati param gatim. So one who chants Om at the time of departure, at the time of death, he reaches me. Because Om is one akshara which indicates Brahman. Om iti ek aksharam Brahman. Vyaharan, chanting and remembering me. So when you chant Om, obviously you have to remember God and whichever your favorite Ishta Devta is, or you can chant Om as the totality, the total consciousness. And he reaches the highest goal, Bhagavan Shri Krishna says. And in the Kathopanishad, it says, yat, yat ichchanto brahmacharyam charanti, tatte padam sangrahena bravimi om itetat. So he says that which seekers of Brahman, chanting which and desiring to reach which, all the chantings are going to go on, all the tapas goes on, all the prayers are done. That padam, and they want to reach that state of enlightenment. See, the reason for meditation, reason for chanting, reason for doing rituals, prayers, pujas, is not only to ask for something. That main purpose is I should become one with God. I should reach enlightenment. So that state of Godhood, Sangrahena Bravimi, the teacher says, I will tell you in brief, and that is Om. Om is the one, that state of absolute Brahman, which all seekers, all spiritual aspirants who do pujas, they all chant Om. And even in the when we are doing in the fire, it says Om Parabrahmane Swaha. You know, when you offer those all these, you know, materials in the fire, whether it's grain or whether it's ghee or whether it's, you know, those offerings. So everything is offered chanting Om. Again, what it means is that by chanting Om, Parabrahmane Swaha, it is offering to that Supreme Brahman. So every time when you do 108 names, you know, Om Shri Ganeshaya Namaha, Om Shri Saraswatyai Namaha, or when we do 108 names of Pujya Gurudev, or 1,000 names of Bhagwan Vishnu, every name is preceded by Om, because Om makes it into a mantra, makes it auspicious. So that's why Om has the highest indicator. Actually, they all Tat Sat, all are highest. There is no degree, but Om is covered here in detail. And it says that people should do this satatam. Now, satatam is very important. Satatam means always. What it means is that always I should dedicate every activity to God. Not that, oh, today is Monday, today is Shiva day, I am a Shiva Bhakta, so today I'll fast, today I won't do anything, you know, wrong. I'll, you know, remember chant Rudram, or, you know, Wednesday is Bhagwan Vishnu's day. So not like that. Not only Monday I'll be auspicious, all 7 days. Satatam means all 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Not only, okay, oh, in the morning I do my prayer puja, that is very sattvic, but the rest of the day I can do whatever I want, dishonest, cheat others. No. Satatam means throughout the day, every activity, every day. So all 7 days are Bhagwan's days, all hours, all minutes, every activity constantly. That is called satatam. Satatam does not mean only on one day a week or only in the morning 1 hour, but throughout the day, every activity I should constantly remember and offer and dedicate it to God. And would God be pleased by this activity? So that should be the undercurrent, like the music that is constantly playing at the back of my mind, that by doing this activity, will my Bhagwan be pleased? Will my mother be pleased? Will my guru be pleased? So that is Om. Om is also, I'll cover in brief, we don't have that much time today, but in the Mandukya Upanishad, A represents waking, Uma. Om is A-U-M, when we chant A-U-M. So A is waking, U is dream, and Ma is deep sleep. So Om is A, U, and Ma. So waking, dream, and deep sleep. So all three stages that we are in, some of you might already be in the third stage right now of deep sleep, but all the three states is Om alone. Om alone is there. And then Om is followed by silence. You don't say Om, 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 Om. You say Om. And then you have silence. And again, Om. So that silence represents Turiya, the substratum, Turiya state. So waking, dream, and deep sleep. And then the fourth silence is Turiya, that state of the substratum, because the sound Om came from silence and then merges back into silence. So silence is the origin. Anything I'm speaking right now, when I stop or when I take a gap, then the gap between the words or the gap between the thoughts or even the gap between the breath is that Turiya state. That's why they say In meditation, you can pay attention to the gap between Om or the gap between your breath, you know, all those, or the gap between the mantra. So like we say, Om Namah Shivaya, and then you wait and pay attention to the silence. So that is Om. So Om represents all four states. Chaturtham, waking, dream, deep sleep, and then the state of Turiya or the state of enlightenment, the substratum. So Om is not just a sound, but has so many meanings. There's so many indications of Om, which all of which we can't cover. But in this particular shloka, this is what is mostly covered. And so we have covered that. Today we are talking about Om. The last shloka today will talk about Tat, that. And then next week means when we meet in 3 weeks on January 8th, because there will be no class December 25 or January 1st. But when we meet on January 8th, we will talk about Sat. There are three shlokas dedicated to Sat. So now we'll talk about Tat. In shloka number 25. Taditya nabhi sandhaya. Halam yajna tapa kriyaha. Dana kriyascha vividaha. Kriyante moksha kangshibhihi.
Kriyante moksha kangshibhihi.
Together. Taditya nabhi sandhaya. Halam yajna tapa kriyaha. Dana kriyascha vividaha. Kriyante moksha kangshibhihi. So kriyante moksha kangshibhi, at the end, we'll do that first. Kriyante is done by who? Moksha kangshibhi. Moksha means liberation. Kangshi means seekers of liberation. By them, it is done. So Bhagwan is using the passive voice. By seekers of liberation, it is done. What is liberation? We'll talk about that. Kriyante, it is done by who? Seekers of liberation. What do they do? Tat, they chant iti anabhisandhaya phalam, not paying attention to the fruit, to the result. What am I going to get out of it? So not paying attention to the result, not what will I get in return, what will be my gain, what will be my result. Without looking at the fruit, what do? They do yajna, tapa, and kriya. So all activities, all rituals, all austerities, kriya, activities, and dana. In the next line, he says dana, kriya also. So yajna, tapa, dana, all vividha, all these variety of activities are done by who? Kriyante is done by moksha kangshibhihi. Those who are seekers of liberation. So whenever Bhagwan uses the word phala or fruit, he's talking about result, but he's talking about what will I get. See, whenever he says phala, you know, so when you offer it to Bhagwan that Bhagwan has given me the ability, whatever wealth I have, whatever knowledge I have, is given by Bhagwan and I'm serving Bhagwan, then the result also should go to Bhagwan. That is karma yoga. Then I am not the enjoyer of the result. Bhagwan is doing, and let him get the result of this activity. So, and whatever I get as a result of my activity, I take it as prasad. I take it as prasad. So when I offer something, I don't offer as, I maybe offer as a fruit, as an apple, or maybe I make a plate, you know, chapati, roti, dal, and all. I offer as food, but it comes back as prasad. This is what Gurudev says. When you offer it to Lord, Lord will bless it and return it back to you. And then you distribute to everybody. You say, oh, this is prasad, you know, whether it's dry fruit or whatever. And then people take it with reverence. Why? Because it has been offered to God. So anything that is offered to God becomes prasad. And then that is something you share. You don't only keep to yourself. So when Bhagwan says fruit, what he means is not my own, but what can I give? And then he says moksha, liberation. So we say, why should I seek liberation? I live in a free country. I am free. Why should I seek freedom? I can vote for whoever I want. I can buy any house. I can go to the store, buy anything. I can wear any clothes I want. I want to wear Indian. I want to wear American. I want to eat pizza or Mexican. I can eat anything. So I am free. So what is this freedom or liberation you are talking about? You know, they say, oh, moksha, I must get moksha, liberty. So we say, I am free. So simple example, you know, somebody who drinks tea and coffee. You said from tomorrow morning, no tea or coffee. You say, tea, coffee? No, no way. Right away, we are bound. Right? I can't start my morning without tea. Aray, kya baat kar rahe? So immediately you are, you know, caught, right? Or it could be anything else. And then some people are addicted to cigarettes and drink alcohol and drugs. So anything that you are dependent on, or only this kind of food I can eat, that kind of, I mean, there may be some foods that are harmful or that are non-vegetarian and all, which you don't eat, that is different. But if you, the moment you say, I have strong likes and dislikes, or without this, I cannot function. And it could be anything, you know, I must have this kind of house, I must have this. So for my bodily comfort, I must have this thing. The moment I say that without this, I cannot function, then physically I'm bound. Then emotionally, how can I be bound? You know, if this person didn't say hi to me, this person didn't smile. If this person is nice to me, I'm happy. If this person is not nice, I'm unhappy. Then emotionally you are bound. You are not free anymore because now you're depending upon some other individual to give you happiness. So physically I can be bound towards something. Emotionally I can be bound. You know, my child has gone to college. He doesn't call me anymore. And now he's married. Now he only talks to his wife. He doesn't talk to me. Oh, I start sad and I crying and all. Then that means you are bound, you are attached. Okay, he's married, let him have his life. That's why they say in old age, that is vanaprastha. You slowly withdraw, don't have to interfere in how he's taking care of his children and what he's doing. If somebody asks for advice or asks for help, you give it. Otherwise, you know, you stay in your house. I'm fine in my house because my time has to be now. Instead of worrying about children, grandchildren has to start thinking about God. My more time should be spent in that. I'm bound. Or intellectually, I'm bound. You know, I'm a Republican. All Democrats are useless. Or liberal, I'm a conservative. Or I am so smart, I know more. So there you are bound to your ideas. You know, this is only right. Only Republicans are good, or only Democrats are good, or only, you know, communists are good, or, you know, like that. So then you are bound to intellectual ideas, or I am right in the house, other person is wrong. You know, they say in My Fair Lady, one of the song is, he says, I don't get upset. You know, he asks his friend, now, if I forget the day we met, the anniversary, will you get angry? His friend says, no, I won't get mad if you forget the anniversary. He says, why can't a woman be like you? So how come she gets mad when I forget the anniversary? The day we met. So that's what we think, that I am right and others should be like me. So that is also bondage. It could be physical, can be emotional, can be intellectual bondage. And karma yoga is offering everything to God. And what does this do When you say tat, that everything came from that and merges back into that, it shows oneness. That there is one which has become many, just as one mud becomes many parts, one gold becomes many ornaments, one water becomes many waves. So all waves are one, all parts are one, all ornaments are one. So all humans are one, not only humans, but animals, birds, plants, fish, there is oneness. And that same consciousness is there in heaven, hell, everything, this, all these three dhaman. That's why they say you who are the lord of the three dhams, the three parts, the earth, heaven, and hell, everything is from you. And you alone are in all. So this universal consciousness, seeing oneness, that there is one, and then this person respects all people, he respects all plants, animals, birds, fish, does not unnecessarily harm or does not pluck leaves unnecessarily, does not kill animals, does not is gentle and loving to all. And that is how you give up this ego. Otherwise, I think I am separate from him, from her. I am better. I am this and that. But the only way to give up ego is to see Bhagwan in everything. And then once you see God in everything, then how can I hate anybody? How can I love one person more than the other? Because everything is God and everything is me. Because I, that one God alone is manifesting in all. So all of us are that one. So seeing that oneness can only happen when you remember tat, that alone is appearing as all of them. And that's why in the 18th chapter, Bhagavan will say, yajna dana tapa karma na tyajyam karyam eva tat, yajna danam tapas chaiva pavanani manishina. So when you chant om, and do this yajna, dana, and tapa, remembering, then it purifies your mind. It creates shuddhi, mana shuddhi, because the mind that is dedicated to God, chanting the name of God, remembering God, and seeing God everywhere, cannot have impurity in the mind. And that's why one of the most important mantras is Tattvamasi in the Upanishad, that thou art. So when it says that thou art, what the Rishi is saying is that one consciousness which is everywhere has manifested in you and has manifested in me. Tat tvam asi. So when we are all one consciousness, then I am not separate from God. I am one with God. Does not mean I am God, that I can create this universe. No, it does not. Vedanta never says you are God. It says you are Brahman, means everybody is Brahman. Everything is God, everything is Brahman. And of course, there is one God who we call Brahmaji, Vishnu, Mahesh, who create the world, sustain, and then destroy, and then recycle. So that is the creator. I am not the creator, but there is one Brahman manifesting as all. That one has to remember. When we say Aham Brahmasmi, means my true essential nature is Brahman. And that is very clearly needs to be understood, because people often think that Vedanta says, I am God. Vedanta doesn't say, I am God. It says, I am Brahman, but everything is Brahman. The chair is Brahman, the tree is Brahman, the men, women, animal, birds, plants. Everything is that one Brahman on which all these names and forms are manifesting. So that's something I just wanted to kind of clarify. We discussed it in the Thursday class also, that one Brahman is manifesting as everything. And then how can I be separate from God? Because they say, na kan kan mein Bhagwan. In every molecule, there is Bhagwan. If Bhagwan is there in every molecule of mine, how can I be separate from Bhagwan? So I am all the time with Bhagwan. That's why it says, satatam brahmavadinam, those who are seekers of Brahman, all the time throughout the day, they remember God and they chant Om Tat Sat. So that is the essence of these three shlokas today. And Om and Tat we have done today. And then when we meet again, we will have three shlokas. The last three shlokas of 17th chapter talk about Sat or existence. So that is needs a little more explanation. That's why Bhagavan has used three shlokas for that. And that will summarize the 17th chapter. So we'll finish when we meet after holidays. We have about 10 minutes. If anybody has any questions, comments, anything you would like to add or I'll do the gallery view so I can see everybody. Yeah, any questions, comments, anybody would like to add?
Just the word yajna and yajna, the difference, or is it similar?
It's the same, it's just a different pronunciation, yajna or yajna, yajna. Actually, the correct pronunciation is yajna, but yajna is easier to pronounce. It is the same, yajna and yajna, yeah. It is, yajna is the correct pronunciation. But in north, they say yajna, you know, in a lot of places, they say yajna, yajna. But it is yajna, that is the correct pronunciation. Kusum, you have anything you would like to add? I think she's there, maybe not. Umaji, you have any questions, comments? From Zoom or from the audience?
No comments, except thank you for all the knowledge and making things clearer for us.
Thank you.
Appreciate that very much.
Also, it was just great, very good explanation. Never heard about Om and Tat. So I'm waiting for the next time we meet.
Thank you so much. Thank you for joining. Really appreciate both of you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll do the closing prayer and then we'll meet in 3 weeks. There will be no class on December 25 and January 1st. On January 1st, we'll be chanting Vishnu Sahasranama, the thousand names of Bhagavan Vishnu, to start the new year, but it will be in the evening, on the first evening at 5 p.m. So starting the new year is better to start remembering God than start with alcohol. A lot of people do that. New Year's, they celebrate. But we try to do it remembering. So at 5 p.m. on the 1st, we will do Vishnu Sahasranama. If we are going to do on Zoom, we haven't decided, then I'll send a message on to the Gita link. If we are going to do it on Zoom, we could possibly do that on Zoom so that those who... But I would request at least those who are in Bakersfield to come personally. And we'll do the Vishnu Sahasranama chanting at 5 p.m. on January 1st in the evening. And then we'll have some prasad or something afterwards. So that is on January 1st. And we'll send a message on the WhatsApp also. Thank you. We'll end with a closing prayer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhagavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Thank you. Harihi Om.